How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No. And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance,
and misadventures.
But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Y'all, you made it to the last installment of our holiday.
You did.
Crossover with Watch What Crappens. And if you're still listening, do you hate yourself? You actually watched that movie.
Are you tired of fucking your husband and now you're just in a corner eating a carrot like Natalie right now listening to this?
I just will eat my carrot in the corner. No, I will say the movie was terrible, but we had such a good time on this crossover.
We did. You're about to listen to the third part, as Poodle said, the third installment and the last installment of our 90 gay Crappens.
Sure.
Crossover. I think I did it right.
Crap over.
This is with the fellas from Watch What Crappens, Ben and Ronnie. We've said it before, we'll say it again. No one covers Bravo and Housewives better than these two queens. They're hilarious. We love them.
If you like Housewives, Below Deck, Summer House, all the Bravo garbage.
All the Bravo garbage. They watch for your pleasure.
Right. So you don't have to.
We love them very much. And this was years in the making. So we just want to thank them so much for, we know that they're busy and to making time out and doing this. Now, if you're on the Patreon, you can watch this on a video. We did this on a video and you can watch us and you can see Poodle laugh and you can see me.
You can see me check my phone.
Yeah. You can see me. You can see me get a text from my brother saying,
"Our dad just shit
in the bed everywhere." Because it was during this episode when Mount Vesuvius happened.
This was when the river of shit happens.
River of shit just went everywhere. Matt, it's just bubbling.
It's river like a, of shit,
like a goddamn crude oil out my ass. But I didn't struck gold though. I struck shit. Anyway.
Not all those work, but that's okay.
Well, that's my dad. So think about that while you're watching.
That what he was experiencing
while you were talking about Emma Roberts. Yes, exactly. So
and her dress like the tech person from every CSI.
From every CSI. Anyway, y'all. So we had a ball. We plan on doing this again. Ben... Ben told us it was one of the probably the most enjoyable crossover.
That touched my heart.
It really did. So, because they've been doing this for a long time and we respect them so much.
And then I touched myself.
Gross. On that note, y'all, enjoy the third part and we'll see you around the bend.
See ya!
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love. It's 90-day gate, let's love.
So, okay. So, speaking of people who can't speak English, Luke walks in with his girlfriend, and Luke is also fine. Like, it's all the guys that she has in her life
really
fine.
He's gorgeous with his glasses.
And they have this, like, really annoying, like, of course, the girlfriend's supposed to be terrible because we're supposed to hate her, even though I don't know why we should hate her. But she's like, oh, Luke, taste this cake pop. And they have, like, this really annoying, like, sound effect of, like, whatever he, like, makes it. I'm like, it was gross.
She goes,
they actually
have an orgasm, right?
They actually give her the accessory of a fucking lollipop.
They give it to her.
Like, she was like a teenage Lolita, like, look at this, look at me, I'm sexy.
But she actually does have a funny line because Sloan has like a basket full of chocolates and she's like, she asks her like, oh, where are the, like the, where's like the dark chocolate? And Sloan's like, oh, I don't work here. She's like, oh, I thought you were stocking the shelves.
It was pretty funny.
She also has another really, this, she had to do some heavy lifting because she had, she says, he's amazing in bed and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I bet you missed that because like, he's like the Terminator, but I'm the one who's always coming. And I was like, okay, you kind of did that well.
Someone has used that like drinking at a bar forever, and she's like, how am I going to say this movie? But again, producers fucked things up when they're like, Luke says, oh, this is, you know, Sloan, we used to be fuck buddies. And the producer's like, we can't say that. What do we say, kids, today? Lovers. That's what we say. It's his lover. Who says that?
This is a white cell.
This is a white cell. It's classic. This is a classy white cell.
A white cell movie.
So then Jackson is walking by because he's in the mall again. And of course he's walking by here.
I think he's homeless if we hadn't seen his apartment when he heard his finger.
Also, he's like creeping on underage girls at the mall. Like, let's call this what it is. If you saw your 45-year-old friend walking in the mall every time you were there, wouldn't you be a little worried?
Yeah, because he's like your hot history teacher. That's what he
really is. Yeah. That is actually very hot. So he sees her in the store. And this is like one of those rom-com things that only happens in rom-coms. Mm-hmm. He immediately figures out what exactly is happening. Immediately knows that that's Luke and that's like Felicity, the girlfriend. Important to know her name. And so he just like rushes in and he's like, hi, girlfriend Sloan, are you excited for a Valentine's Day date? I was like, how did he fucking know? That could have been like a guy that she was interested in and his sister.
And he even does the husbandy thing by saying, I thought you were going to meet me in the Brookstone.
You guys, there is a very busy Brookstone at this mall.
Adorable that they think that Brookstone is still in business, by the way.
Folks still around.
Detail now.
True.
So Felicity is like into him. So she's like licking her lollipop like at him because, you know, he's hot. And so Jackson's like, you're so beautiful, baby. Are we done here? Oh, I have big plans for you in Victoria's Secret.
I'm going to buy you some sexy lingerie.
Yes.
So then they walk away and then he goes, bye, Felicia. I was like,
Oh my God, I just got that.
I knew that was coming.
I just got that by Felicia.
I'm just taking a hammer to my DVR at this point.
Again,
I was so disappointed.
1994.
I was so disappointed in Tiffany Paulson at that moment.
I know, but also you're so funny for still having a DVR.
I actually don't. I should have said Apple TV.
I have a TiVo. I love it.
You're like, I loved Holiday. I'm recording it on the DVR. I'm going to keep it for 60 days minimum.
After she's basically talking with him and they're like walking away and she's pissed that he would even take, he can't believe you would say that to me. And she's like, I can't believe that he's with that girl, blah, blah, blah. She's like, give me something. I need something. And she tastes the green juice. She's like, what is this? I only put garbage in my body.
That's why I'm so skinny.
Yeah. She tries to feed him some chocolate. And he's like, oh, I'm a professional athlete all of a sudden. She's like, not fuck you. Eat the chocolate.
Yeah, she's like, that is not a sport. It's like, how dare you? So then she starts calling him a pussy. And he's like, I don't like when girls say that.
Again, like, I was like, this was written by a woman.
A lot of this, like even recapping it, I'm like, oh, we're going to get in trouble for saying that. And I'm like, but it's in the movie.
It's in the movie, Netflix. Yeah. Wasn't us.
So then she's like, well, you are a pussy. Ah. And he's like, well, if I was such a pussy, you'd still be stuck in that store talking to a very hot man and his trampy girlfriend.
She's like, oh, you're right. I am a piece of shit.
She's like, you're right. And I do owe you for that because you did save me. And he's like, I'll take my hand job in the parking lot. She's like, what are you, 12? And he's like, you gave hand jobs at 12?
So then it gets creepy.
Yeah, what do you do at a sixth grade dance? That's what I was like. That was the only thing that tracked in this movie.
You should have seen Lester's eyes.
I'm really
Lester never curious. Had it again. How did he get her into his car? I couldn't figure that out. Maybe I missed it.
That's a good question. Maybe she probably didn't drive there on her own. She probably took an Uber.
Well, and she was like, they're eating the bourbon truffles, probably one in the mall. And then he got tipsy. Again, they made a big deal that he wasn't going to eat them. And then they didn't really show us convincing him. They just cut to the car where we think, y'all, spoiler alert, it looks like, she's giving him a hand job. No. But they're just eating truffles really aggressively. I don't understand it.
And like in secret.
Yeah.
Question. Why would you give away the really good hand job joke if you just, it would have been even a bigger surprise if you hadn't mentioned it in the fucking mall.
Yeah. True. Be like tease it like, I could give you something. And then it's like, oh, this is going to get real edgy. And then it's
a joke.
But listen, Morty, they're not going to get it. Kids today, they need everything quick and fast. They don't get it.
You give a hand jobs at 12 because that's comedy.
There's no subtext here. Who's on first? Who cares?
That's why you're the white cell, boss. Got it in there.
So when the camera is like sort of panning around and we see sort of through the rear view window and we see her head is like bobbing in like his general area. Why is she eating? Why is she having so much trouble getting those chocolates out of the box? And why is it on his lap? Like, it's all sorts of like, it's very strange.
And it's so people in movies who don't really eat, who have to have eating scenes, how they eat when they're like, they take a bite and they're, sorry, walking to town today. And their mouths are like, their whole faces are going crazy because they don't eat.
Oh my God, that is it. They're so, you can tell people they're eating and talking. It's like they're, yes.
Also, no one acts like that with like little chocolates. I'm sorry. I'm a chocoholic. And whenever you have like a little chocolate out of like a box or whatever that comes with the wrapper, they're always nice. But I have never been like, oh, yeah. It's like you do that with like a Kit Kat or Snickers. But those chocolates are like, this is good, but why did I pay $45 for this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, that was so good. Do you want to smoke? And he's like, you smoke? And she's like, I'm not a good person yet. Okay. I'm still single. Okay.
Yeah.
Later in the movie, when I become a good person by getting a boyfriend, I'll quit smoking and stop eating.
I'll quit smoking then.
So then he's like, well, why didn't you call me for Valentine's Day? And she's like, I was just embarrassed because I was hoping that things would have changed by now, but they didn't. So therefore, I'm going to go back into my cocoon and go back. And like, I was hoping for a romance in my life, but I realized that's not going to happen. So,
she does that like seven times in this movie. It's really frustrating.
And now this is when he tells his story, right? Because I kind of zoned out during his story. So can you guys tell me what he said, why he's tortured?
I didn't hear.
Well, he was saying, listen, the small holidays are the worst, you know? I mean, I spent Earth Day chained to an annoying girl in a tree. So let's make it official that every holiday from now on, which is so funny because it's actually the word holiday plus a date put together, we'll spend together.
And then she's like, sure. She's like, sure. But doesn't is this not the scene where he like says why he like?
No, like you're that. You're thinking of
him down the line.
He's a man, so he can't put his walls down until the 11th
November. And don't have any.
Yes, and you're talking about his monologue that happens later.
Yeah, because I know he had like a thing where he talked about why he doesn't like being committed.
That was the monologue that Frances Fisher was supposed to have when she agreed to do the film.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Frances, we've taken away your monologue. We need for the hot guy to say something.
Did I say Frances McDormand? That would be good.
She would have been great in this.
Wow.
That would have electrified the entire movie.
Yeah, especially if she was like a nun.
She would have just yelled at him.
She should have played this role, for sure.
She would have yelled at Jackson and then stapled his finger to a piece of paper.
Frances McDormand would have asked for script changes. Like, crazy changes.
Like, it actually would have ended up being a lesbian rom-com.
Yes!
Oh, imagine if she were playing the role of Sloane. That would have been
saying. She would have been amazing. Okay, so now it's St. Patrick's Day, guys. And... Sloane is still smoking and single, which means she's an alcoholic with other guys because guys think she's cool, so she's a cool girl.
She's a cool girl.
Yeah. So they're all chanting Sloane, Sloane, Sloane while she chugs.
and they're actually holidaying
together. This is their first holiday.
Proper holidaying. If you've read Save the Cat, this is when we get into the fun and games portion of the script.
Yes.
So so now like we're in Chicago. Chicago has a pretty big St. Patrick's Day culture. They turn the river green. And one has to imagine that there are just tons and tons of pubs and bars having St. Patrick's Day celebrations. But who would have thought that her entire family would be in the same bar that she's in right now?
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, it's some codependent shit in this family.
Either that or not a big casting budget.
And they're just so on the nose. I love it. Because they're like, listen, we need one guy to be so drunk that he just falls over from the shots. They're like, has to be a redhead guy because it's St. Patrick's Day. They're like, yes, Mr. Whitesell. Yes, Mr. Whitesell.
That's true. Like, warning, find us that redhead.
And this is when we do find out that we meet the brother. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's Jackson. They're like, oh, how do you know Jackson? Oh, he's my golf teacher.
See, this movie would have gone so much better if he went, we went to boarding school together, and then we find out that they're both. That's the movie I want to see.
Well, and here's at this point, as a viewer, I'm thinking, okay, here's where the complications start to set in because now they have to pretend that they're in a real relationship for her family when they're not really in a real relationship and they're trying to be holiday and they're like, have to, now they're forced to like,
oh, that's tension, Ben. Beyond, that's tension.
Beyond holidays. I'm like, there's things are going to happen. Something's going to happen. I don't know what it is, but now we're getting, it's like,
we're going to blow the cover.
No. They just know each other.
They're like, we just go on dates and don't date other people, but we're just holidaying. And all the family is like, because you guys, if your loved one or friend told you that, you'd be like, huh? And they're all kind of like, cool, let's drink.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
You thought there might be like a raising of the stakes. Like they might like,
no.
Say, like start a ruse.
Because I thought they were going to play it up too. Like, oh, we're dating. And so you could be my fake boyfriend for every holiday I'm with my parents. It's not that. It's just a random guy who comes to all of her family things.
I know.
So this is where we get the information that the fiance doesn't really know anything about little brother at all. Because she's like, you play golf? And he's like, yeah, ever since you've known me. And then we get big sister who's there too. And she's talking about her husband, I guess. And
that's
how
Abby,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's Abby. Like, oh my god, like being a mom. You go out whenever you can. Kids.
Mom life, so hard.
Wendy, what's her face role? Not Wendy Malick, Wendy from Reno 911. Like the role of Bridesmaids.
I know who you're talking about.
Clendon Covey.
These two subplots were so soft-pedaled. I barely knew they were there.
Yeah, it was
like she doesn't know, his fiance doesn't know him, and then the adultery at the end when she actually kisses someone else is also soft-pedaled.
Like, I didn't realize they were actually having marital problems. I just thought that she was just like overwhelmed with children.
I thought everything was very sad. Like this, as soon as he said, I don't really know my fiance, I was like, that's extraordinarily sad.
But like, it was so glossed over. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
We'll come back to that. So now we're in Easter, and we see this big Easter egg hunt happening.
Easter bonnet. Yeah.
I will say we know exactly when we are. So kudos to that production manager.
they did a great job.
They told us what time of year we were always in.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they literally said
holidays were not included in this. We did not see any Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, but that's okay.
Stars.
No Yom Kippur.
No Purim.
No Sukkot. No celebrating on Sukkot.
No Tishvat.
And you know, because Jake could do it, because Jake always leads the High Holy Days. He's done it for like 3 years now. He really has. He knows all of them.
I know all of them. All of them.
Well, I got on the High Holy Days.
So now we're in Easter, and so there's like this family brunch. And apparently you just can't go to Easter brunch without a date. Cause that's like, now I'm Jewish, but I did not know that like Easter brunch was like a big dating, like a show off your boyfriend or girlfriend holiday.
Dude, Jesus was so ashamed to be single on Easter that he like left the tomb and nobody ever saw him again. Like he never showed his face again. And he was like, I know.
They were at the last dinner. Judas was like, Do we put the leaf in?
It seems like I'm still confused over this, but like, what is the difference between going to your family's holiday by yourself or going with a guy who's your fake date?
Well, that's why I thought there'd be a ruse, because it's like her family puts all this pressure on. So she's like, this is my boyfriend. Like I thought that's where it was going to be.
You guys are still confused. It's like an hour and 40 minutes in and you guys are like, wait a minute.
I'm confused at the fundamental principle of the movie.
And I think that like, cause it's like, is it because I don't want to be alone or is it, I want to get other people to shut up.
Exactly.
About it, alone. And it kind of goes back and forth.
It kind of goes back and forth. And I will be honest. I was perplexed the entire movie by that. I kept being thrown. I'm like, wait, is it? Are they? I had real problems.
I think it was just kind of their foreplay. That it's like two hot people want to bang, but they want the other person to say it first, right? Because both of them want the other person to say it first, and then they're just going to play this goddamn game forever. Then they'll finally get together, and then you have to pretend that you don't know that they're fighting, because they're going to pretend that they're not fighting, but then they're going to make the whole fucking holiday about them fighting. And you know, it's just one of those drama queen couples. Like, everyone knows you guys want to be together. Just do it. Stop putting us all through this on fucking St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. And so now we're here at Easter, and I'm thinking in my mind, the mom is like excited that she's bringing a guy back, and he's hot and he's a professional golfer. And at this point, I think the mom is now going to start parading this guy around. And now it's like, oh shit. Now I'm like kind of like stuck with this guy, because I have to like, I hate him, but now my mom is like obsessed. If I stop dating him, my mom's going to be like forcing like this very hot doctor on me instead, you know? And like, but no, the mom's like, no, I don't approve of this guy. Here's a doctor in a Easter bunny outfit.
Yeah, instead. Baruch, and he's in an Easter bunny outfit because he was helping kids with cancer.
My God.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird with that.
We're supposed to feel like Farouk is like bad because he's like the other guy, but he's actually like really good.
That's never explained and never defined. Like half of this movie.
But you just kind of expect him to suck, but he's like awesome.
But and he's great with kids. And even highlights is like, he's great with kids. Don't you want to date him? Because every woman should want to have children.
And he's also
they're not worth anything.
Yeah.
And we should point out that Easter is not generally a time when people dress up, but Aunt Susan is still dressed as a Playboy bunny. Yeah,
I like that.
Aunt Susan shows up as a Playboy bunny. So good. Yeah.
With her boobs overflowing the cups of her outfit.
God, I love her. I love that everything to her is just another Broadway show.
I do love Christmas Channel.
I mean, acting on Broadway and acting in film or television is the subtleties, you know. It's just, and she's like, fuck that, you know. She just shows up and does it like she's on a huge stage every time.
I'm gonna do everything everywhere. Now they're sitting in this dollhouse. That's meta. They're sitting in a pretty little house, talking to her niece, and her niece walks away. And then she's kind of talking, and they're talking about heartbreak or something. And then she says,
here's the monologue scene.
She says, women process heartbreak differently, you know, because you guys, it's like, I thought she was going to say, it's like men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Yeah,
any moment. But yes, then we get to, I'm choked from laughing. This is, Jackson goes into what is, a lot of people don't know this, but this is a very famous monologue called the Panini Monologue. if you go to monologuesbyalfred.biz, you can get a copy of this to use for your audition. Just to let everybody know. But .biz, if you go to monologues.com, you're going to see porn. So just go to .biz.
I love that someone bought that address just to show you for it. Yes. Monologues. I'm theatrical. Okay,
Mr. But yes, Ben, this is a Panini monologue. Have at it.
Well, no, because so he also, by the way, gets very Australian here, because when she's saying she's not ready to date someone else, like the doctor, he's like, what's it been? Almost like, yeah. I'm like, oh, Australian. So he, no, this is why I need to know from you guys, because I sort of zoned out that he was dating a girl and she was really into him. Everything was great. But then she just like left him and took the panini maker. Is that what it was?
She pretended that she liked him. Like she was trying to be a cool girl to win him over. And so she pretended like she liked his friends. She liked his sports. She loved backgammon. And then she put all his stuff in the bathroom and hid bobby pins in strange places and played different sexual positions. And then one day she changed the number and snuck out with my panini maker. My panini maker!
Nothing about this made sense. Okay, so like the issue is that like, was the issue that like she presented to be one person, but was actually a different type of person and then broke his heart? Or is it like that he fell for her and then she broke his heart? So now he's like afraid to like go further. I didn't understand the psychology of it and how it related to why he needed a holiday.
It makes sense because the issue is that this is the kind of dialogue writing that you just write to try to sound funny that doesn't mean anything. And you're like, what's the last word I can say? What word sounds funny? Panini maker.
Well, it originally was.
It's the same thing with Lester and Urkel. You're looking for a comedy bit.
If you go again to monologues.alfred.biz, you will see that the actual, it was a KitchenAid mixer, but.
It wasn't funny enough.
We go, Marty, put in that panini maker.
They couldn't say George Foreman grill on this. They didn't get the right. But here's the thing.
I love Morty's assistant.
You know what this was? I'm not going to blame Tiffany, the screenwriter. Her name's Tiffany, right? Tiffany Paulson. I'm not going to blame her because she probably had a thing that was like, originally was like, he's a guy and he's just like shallow like that. And then an exec was like, we need him to be more grounded. We need him to, fine, I'll just wedge in this fucking monologue in here to make this, you know, like Jody McBain from... Hollywood. Happy.
There were so many, you guys, rewrites of this script. So many rewrites.
Yeah. So
everyone had an opinion. Everyone.
Everybody knows. I just looked up Tiffany Paulson on IMDb. And my concern is that she's never really been poor. And she's writing for poor people. And guess where she's from? She's from a place called Kashmir. I rest my fucking case, okay?
I want to look up Tiffany Paulson also.
She wrote the feature adaption of Nancy Drew for Warner Brothers, which I heard I haven't seen it yet. And she wrote the sequel to the classic Adventures in Babysitting. I did not know there was a sequel.
They were going to do that with Raven, which they did not need to do. And Emma Roberts was Nancy Drew.
And wasn't she in Adventures in Babysitting too? Or no?
Maybe she was.
She was an actress. She was in Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. So there's a lot of pedigree.
What? Like the Muppets?
Jason, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
I just imagined Jason.
Remember that part where Jason was like skating around on toast on a flat girl in the diner?
Jason just wanted to have a wedding with Big Bird in attendance.
I know.
He just starts out singing on a log. Someday I'll kill them. Oh.
So anyway,
this is what my life is like, you guys. It's just non sequiturs constantly.
Ours too. I mean, look at us. We're all on IMDb 2 hours into this recap.
So now that we have uncovered Jackson's hidden pain over a panini maker that he paid for. Of course, that's he paid for it.
Thing to say. What do you guys think when he says his sexual habits? What was it? What was his doors that he opened up? What was
finger in his butt?
I was gonna say that, or she pegged him.
Oh, I'm saying pegging, just like jujunk, 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 and he just cried.
Yeah,
sorry, that got dark. That got dark.
He bought him a fuck machine.
Doesn't mean I want to be pegged.
It was something involving those bobby pins.
Yes.
So now we're in Cinco de Mayo. And
this is where I screamed and threw my pad.
Memorial Day. So it's Cinco de Mayo and they're doing shots, you know, and she still wants to know if he's done anal. She does that thing that like no one does in real life, which is says, hey, you never answered that question from the last scene that took place 2 months ago.
Which I actually, that I kind of appreciated. He's still like, drop it. They're doing shots and then we get you guys to let us know that they're drinking tequila. They're going to make sure they play the tequila song and then have bottles of tequila everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they're like talking about, when was the last time you had sex? And he's like, I had sex. The Thursday with a waitress that you never saw on from St. Patrick's Day. And I was expecting
that imply a relationship.
What?
Wouldn't that imply some kind of a relationship? Like, having sex with her? Yeah, or something. Like, it's been a long time since then, and you're still calling the cocktail waitress from St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what if true. It was her sister?
Yeah, because Cinco de Mayo, that would be 2 months later. Yeah.
I watch a lot of mystery shows. Like, that's all I watch. So everything, I'm like, is she dead?
How many holidays does he have? Because there were a lot of holidays. Like, we did not see Memorial Day. We did not see Arbor Day. We don't see
there's a lot of anti-war propaganda in this film. I'm surprised they gave us a 4th of July.
Yeah. That's true. We see Mother's Day later.
No Father's Day. Which they could have made a moment on Father's Day where he could have been like, sweet. He could have comforted her.
Nope. So then they have more funny banter where he's like, oh, I feel bad for your lack of a sex life. And then she's like, you're trying to get into my head and then freak me out. So then we do have sex. But guess what? We're not going to have sex, but I'm great in bed. I'm naturally gifted. Not that I want to have sex with you.
Yeah, because you don't even find me attractive. Remember?
This dialogue that just goes in circles and you're like, please, for the love of God, fuck each other. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. And well, he's like, well, I know you're good in bed because you developed it at an early age and gave hand jobs at 12. Whoa. This is why I don't want to be in a relationship. Using shit like that against you at random times. Like, really? Yes. Use that against me at Cinco de Mayo right now?
Yeah.
But then there's a huge montage.
They do have this drinking montage. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
And it's supposed to convince us that they get so wasted.
Just shmammered.
To the point of how it went on for so long that they both should be in a hospital for alcohol.
Yeah, you would think that. But instead they wake up in a beautifully golden lit room. And she's wearing his Calvin Klein's, which was a nice call. I feel like there's a nice reference to Back to the Future. Like, wow, if only we could turn back the time on this situation, right?
Yeah.
You know? He's like, you're wearing my underwear, which is never really explained, by the way.
No.
And again, that in case you forgot, it was the night before. There's a Cinco de Mayo doll on the fan.
Thank you.
Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Get the sex decorator in here.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, the line that kind of took me out of this, so she's in his underwear and she's like, did we have sex? Oh no, did we have sex? And he's like, well, did we? And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, you should know I don't have a vagina. Like literally, I kind of wanted to say, is my jizz in your gooch? It was just so out there. And I kind of went, whoa.
Nothing dried on my leg.
Yeah, that's what she said. She's like, nothing's dried on my leg. I don't have any crust on my leg or whatever.
Like if she would have checked her button when like, oh, you're not experimental. You're like, just like, let's just go there and just make this softcore porn.
Yeah,
I know.
Slightly disturbed.
But they conclude that they did not have sex.
She's like, what about your penis? Doesn't your penis know if we had sex? And he's like, well, it does look kind of tired.
I was confused because I don't think it was, I think it's a mystery whether they ever had sex or not. And it should have been very important.
I mean, yeah, it didn't really lead to anything. It didn't raise the stakes on their relationship. It did not like bring them closer. It was just this weird moment of, I guess we didn't have sex. And I, for some reason, I'm wearing your underwear and I'm on the floor. Don't understand why. So,
Let's never talk about it again,
and we'll never get any resolution.
I thought it was leading to a baby or a pregnancy.
Yeah.
Turn it into having a baby or whatever. They're just going to keep reminding us of better romantic comedies.
It was going knocked up.
Instead, we'll see you on 4th of July.
Also, no one had any birthdays. Talk about holidays. No one had any birthdays this entire movie.
Those are more family things.
That would be a birthday is like when you want to have a holiday, right?
Yeah, it is kind of. Because if you are uncomfortable being single, that is where you're like marking a year and whatever. You know what? We're just talking sensical. Yeah.
Now it's Mother's Day. And of course, she's there alone. And her mom's like, oh my God. And he's there. He comes.
The one event that the entire family is not at is the one for the mother.
That's why she's so awful.
They just went on Amazon and order a table leaf and left it at that.
And mom is like, she knows everything. And so she's like, Jackson, why are you going to waste my time?
Why are you wasting my daughter's time?
Then things got dark again, which I kind of related to because a lot of our listeners know on our podcast right now, I'm in Oklahoma because my dad has cancer, so he's fine. But we're doing chemo and all that. So this is the part of the movie that made me emotional because she just looked at me and she was like, when you have chemo, who's going to be there? Like, why did she just say, who's going to wipe your ass when you're married and
ate? Yeah, that's what she said. She was like, someone has to be legally bound to be there through chemo. And she tells her daughter, she goes, you have bad genes and bald women don't get a lot of dates. It's like,
oh, that's the worst line of the movie.
Funny. I was like,
I just put both my hands. I was doubly if I was like,
it was cool.
It's like, it was trying to be edgy and like in your face, but so it was cool. Like, isn't it funny that mom's saying this? But I was like, this is like uncomfortable because like, I'm like afraid of cancer and you just took me to that place.
Yeah.
Like, they're bald because they've had cancer.
It reminded me, I had to stop the movie actually to go wipe my dad's ass. So it really took me there.
I feel like there are like other comical like versions of that that we could have gone to instead of like, who's going to be with you during chemo? How about like, who's going to be with you when you shit the bed when you've had food poisoning? Like, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, the mom needed to be either all the way Arrested Development or like a good mom. She can't just like ride this middle ground. Because then she goes, listen, if you guys are just going to hang out, then just sleep with her. I mean, you guys have to try it. It's like escargot. It looks unappealing and it sounds unappealing, but then you put your mouth on it and sparks just fly. And I'm like, coming from a horrible mother, that would be good. But coming from a good mother, it's horrible. You know?
Yeah.
That sounds like someone like trying to explain like cunnilingus to a young man. Like, like escargot.
Oh, that was a white cell rewrite. He's like, because how many times have you had to tell it to a son? Hey, try the escargot. Your mother and I took you to a fancy restaurant. I know it looks gross, but put it in your mouth. You're going to like it.
Yeah. Escargot. Like, when was the last time you ever even heard that term? Okay. So
1992.
Urkel.
90s.
Urkel. So she's like, did you just compare sex to me with eating slugs? I'm also like, yeah, she also called you unappealing. Looking and sounding.
Yes.
So cool.
Yes.
That you would have cancer.
So they leave her, which I loved.
Her whole family hates her. Her whole family is like, it's sad you're single. I guess we're stuck with you. The terrible daughter who's always alone.
Always alone. Yeah.
So now it's like 4th of July and it's like fireworks and stuff like that. And so this is all completely unclear what's happening with this holiday, because a bunch of them are like piling into a minivan because they're going to be going on a girls trip. And we know it's a girls trip because Aunt Susan has brought some weird dude who's like sitting in the back seat, and Liz does not want to sit next to him. They're like, no, like she's like, I thought this was supposed to be a girls trip. So we think they're going on a girls trip.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They did say girls trip like 5 times. And we actually realized, y'all, they're just driving down 75 to go to the lake to meet the family for fireworks.
Or something like that.
Girls trip just for the van. So it's the girl drives
and the girls commute. It's a girls commute.
Oh, girl commute. Where are my commuters at? Come on.
Because they're going to talk about breasts and vaginas only and listen to Helen Reddy.
Rest
in peace.
It's time.
God, I loved Helen Reddy. Don't make me emotional.
And Kristen Chenoweth has an Uncle Sam that she's fucking in the back seat. Did you already say that? Sorry.
I didn't say Uncle Sam. Yes. So now it's time, since it is an adult comedy that's being edgy, it's time for the like the innocent one tries drugs
marijuana.
And it's going to lead to hilarious consequences.
Hilarious, y'all. Liz,
this is an adult film now.
Because, you know, you guys, every Asian woman's uptight. So in case you forgot about that, every Asian woman's uptight. So she needs to smoke pot so that way she can get the munchies and scream and fuck.
You know how we're gonna show that she's really high? We're going to make her eat guacamole with her hands.
Now, I will say I did that stone cold sober,
y'all. That's stone fucking dude, cold.
You forget about forks when you're on drugs.
I mean, I will say I did appreciate that. I thought it was sort of funny that like she smokes up and she's like, I don't feel anything, and then you expect her to be like a disaster, and then she's like, she thinks she's sober and she's eating. I was like, okay, that's kind of like.
I did like that she was actually just normal.
Yeah, I like that she was normal, but I also didn't like that like we sat through all that for nothing.
Ben, that's kind of the tagline of this movie. You sat through this for nothing.
Yeah, that kind of movie. So all the guys are like shooting fireworks at each other and shooting them at guys in boats.
And I'm like, this is horrible.
You guys are terrible people.
People don't do this anymore.
Felt very Cro-Magnon. And now they've just accepted Jackson. He's like, oh yeah, he's just one of the guys. It's just this is my daughter's fake boyfriend for every 12 days of the year.
He likes exploding things.
Completely normal.
But, Ronnie, there's a reason why men like to explode things.
Oh, my God. Really? Man, why? I can't see the connection.
I'll tell you. The reason why men like things to explode. Kristen Chenoweth did get real. Because it makes them think of their penis urethra shooting out semen all over your face like an explosion.
Cock. You get it? You're going to shoot your cock at people.
Men only live for the orgasm. If they're not fucking, they're thinking of fucking.
Wait a second. Is this movie saying that men only think about sex? I haven't. That's crazy. That's a crazy idea. What a crazy concept.
You know, you guys admit it. When she said that, I was like, When was the last time I jerked off?
I was like, I could be jerking off instead of watching this right now.
It could have, yes. Yes.
And then, what's her name? Evan Roberts. Kara Roberts. Emma Roberts.
Sloan.
Sloan. And Sloan's like, yeah, it's fucking. even her.
Yeah.
Yes, and fucking.
So now we have, this whole scene is supposed to be developing. This whole like holiday is supposed to be developing Liz. The problem is we never knew anything about Liz going into this.
Nothing.
So there's like, it's hard for us to see a transformation because we don't really know anything. So now they're like, it comes to this thing where Liz can't say the word fuck. And they're just like, say fuck. And by the way, Sloane is being a monster right now. Like this poor girl doesn't want to say fuck. Okay. She doesn't want to, she doesn't believe in it. She doesn't like the way it sounds. It's against everything in her being. And she's like, bullying her in the corner of this like deck and being like, say fuck. So then of course she's like, fuck. Which, by the way, leads to nothing.
Nothing. Like no one fell off a boat. No one could have had a firework in their hand and looked and turned around. And the firework, that's the reason maybe why a firework blew up in their hand.
Maybe that's what happened.
But no, that could have happened.
Yeah.
But no, it was just then it's later on.
We just hear an explosion.
Explosion. And then this movie becomes kind of like Apple Dumpling Gang 3. Like it's just like
Apple Dumpling Gang 2.
There is an Apple Dumpling Gang 2.
I didn't know that.
There is a number 2. I watched it. Yes, I did. That
and Adventures in Babysitting Part 2.
I modeled part of my acting career on Don Knotts, and I thought that Don Knotts was going to show up at any because she gets they like they
respect that
they're because they're all looking for his finger in the sand because yeah, he blew his finger off.
If you believe for one moment that a professional golfer would be handling a firework. Actually, I'm taking that back because there have been a number of professional football players who have destroyed their hands with fireworks. So I take it back. Yes, athletes are kind of dumb.
Anyway, it's still not believable. They are. Yeah. And so they're looking for his finger and
kind of frenzied for
it was just like it was disgusting.
This was like a disgusting twist, I thought.
Yes. And then Coy or Joe or whatever his name is, little brother finds it. They put it in ice. And then, just so you know, Jackson Yaw, I guess Australians are tough because he looks, instead of looking like he just lost his finger, he kind of looks like he's trying to fart, but he doesn't want everyone to hear it. Like, that's his level of pain for this. Like, ooh, this is a little crampy.
Well, he's not moving from this film into, like, a war epic. You know, like, he doesn't have that kind of acting. He's
not going to be in 1917 Part 2.
Right. Like, Ron Howard will not be directing his next film.
And, like...
What? Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
I feel like with these, like, I feel like in a comedy, you lose your toe. In a drama or a thriller, you lose your finger. And I feel like, you know, like, I feel like the finger was, like, actually, like, oddly visceral. And, like, it was, like a toe is fine. Like, Fish Called Wanda, someone loses their toe, you know? But this, it's like, I was like, this is disgusting. And then he's like, I lost my fuck you finger. It's like, also your career as a golfer.
I'm a golfer.
And she's like, well, I can one up that. Guess who doesn't know how to drive, but it's going to drive you anyway.
Women can't drive.
This is when I knew, I'm telling you, Don Knotts was going to show up right now. I knew it.
Why did she drive it? Why was she the one?
Why? Yeah, they had like this. There was like some passing dialogue why she couldn't
get the creepy guy. But what did it
also
get?
Call an ambulance. Call an ambulance.
It's like, I'm going to have fun on the way to the hospital with me not using my turn signal.
I'm a woman. We drive so bad.
And it's just scary.
It was scary because she gets in that car and she slams on the gas and it like, she just like it goes so fast. It was like a foreign identity. I was like, she was like,
it turned to an action movie really quickly.
Thank God she was driving a Toyota vehicle.
And then it ended as an action movie. Toyota. Yeah, she was driving a Toyota vehicle. Yeah.
Okay, so they get to the hospital and they're smoking a joint now in the hospital room. And it's not even their own hospital room.
We don't even know where they got the joint to, by the way.
I'm assuming from like, Abby. He doesn't smoke, but now he's smoking.
I know, but is there like a vending machine in the hospital?
Oh, God.
I think that was from like weed Uncle Sam.
Okay.
Yeah.
The nurse's attitude with them. She's like, seriously, I'm too tired to report you. And guess who the doctor is, guys?
Farouk
is on fire. We don't need a toe. Let that motherfucker burn.
Farouk, who is both a cancer doctor and someone who sews fingers back onto people.
He does
vascular surgery. So,
he's also a private. Isn't he also a private doctor? Because later, isn't he like in a private doctor's office?
he also can treat people who've had heart attacks.
Yes.
So he's both a cardiologist and a vascular surgeon and an oncologist.
Yeah.
So
he'll give you new boobs if you're nice enough to him.
So he's like sort of surly because there's sort of this like plot thread that like he might be jealous of Jackson because he was brought in to be with her in Easter, but then it didn't work out. So he's kind of like cold, but like That would require like a little bit too much effort to like
it
develop
go
that.
All the way there. You're right. It's like halfway, and so we don't get anything.
Yeah, yeah. They keep making all these finger jokes. He's like, ripped off finger jab, ripped off finger jab. But then Farouk is like, oh, that's gonna hurt. Script, you know, it's we'll get it fixed. Fingers crossed. And they just look at him like, fuck you, Farouk.
Fuck you.
I'm like, that was the one funny that actually made me laugh. I was like, Farouk, that's so cute.
I know. What made me laugh is actually that nurse. When they were like, can we, like, we need a doctor right now. And she's like, sorry, I guess you should have been a jackass to me earlier or something like that. And I was like, yes, nurse. Yes.
Yes, nurse.
There was something about that nurse that they're like, have I seen you before? I'm like, is she someone? That was my first thought. Cause she was such a specific character actor.
Cindy Williams, like Shirley from Laverne and Shirley. It's not Cindy Williams.
Yeah, I just assumed she had a four episode arc on Sisters in 1991.
oh my God.
Talking about Sisters.
We were just talking about Sisters last
week.
We're
always just talking.
Let's go to a spa and like talk about
it. I love it. Oh God. Cela Ward was the best person I ever waited on.
She was so troubled.
I love Cela Ward.
I know. She was lovely.
I just saw her on something. Wasn't she on Westworld? I'm going to look her up.
Maybe.
Well, you know, I have my famous, are you talking about Cela Ward or Susie Kerr?
It was just on, Cela Ward was just on Westworld.
I love that she was in Gone Girl.
Oh, she was so good.
She was in Gone Girl.
She was in Gone Girl.
Love Cela Ward.
She was the
interview.
She's also in Hello Again. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Point is, Sloan takes him back home and she's like, don't worry, they're going to deliver you soup. And I called your mother. She didn't answer. I told her you.
We don't know why.
I was like, now we're fighting.
His
parents divorced, and that's why he's afraid of commitment.
We're going to get another plot twist. And I was like, no, we didn't. There we go.
I thought it was mommy issues time. I was like, here's Brenda Blevin. Here she comes.
Or even maybe Brenda Fricker. Anyone, but like,
even the Fricker would have worked.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, but he doesn't want to tell her that she should stay, and she doesn't want to say, I'll stay. So they have like this awkward thing where she's
looking, and he's like,
She's looking, and he's not looking at her, but then he looks up to see if she's staying, but he wasn't looking at her, so she's
I actually liked that moment. I was like, okay,
it was sweet.
I'm feeling romantic things in here.
I liked his apartment.
But who leaves someone post surgery?
Also, how was he let out of the hospital so quickly? He just got a finger sewn back on.
Yeah, like he's definitely on anesthesia. But anesthesia, why are you going to leave someone?
I mean, she didn't even turn the TV on, y'all. He can't do that. That's
why
just
didn't
mean.
She call Tom, his friend? What, like, where is anyone in his life?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, we find out, because now he's all upset for some reason. He's golfing with his friend, which is apparently okay. He can totally golf fine. Don't worry about the finger. Yeah. So he's golfing with his friend, and he's like, our hands touched during
that's right.
And his friend is like, holy shit, did you use protection? And then at the same time, she's talking to her sister about it, about how there was a vibe. And then we cut back.
Yes.
Like, does that mean it's serious? And his friend's like, dump her now.
Yeah, because the thing
don't go to because they're going to a wedding.
The wedding on Labor Day, so it's like it's the holiday thing. Double. But wedding is like it's like the friend is like wedding is like super commitment. So if you go to that, then she's gonna like it's gonna like go to the next level, and you don't want that. He's like, yeah, but it's also a holiday. I've got to do the holiday thing, and then on her end, she's like having a whole thing where it's like, like, what do I do? And I don't remember who she's talking to, maybe her sister or something like that. And like whoever's talking to her is like, well, men hate weddings. So if he tries to get out of the wedding, then you know that he's not into you. But like if he's okay with going to the wedding, then he is into you. So this means something.
Yeah. And then his friend is like, you know, tell her you're going with somebody else who has potential. And I was like, but isn't that trying to make her jealous to be with him? Your advice is crazy.
Crazy.
Because they're trying to avoid stakes. They're trying to avoid like commitment, like amongst each other, right? They don't want any expectations.
Well, they both think the other one is going to want the commitment, right? So they're trying to avoid the other one wanting them. But then the friends like try to make her jealous, which will make you, I don't know. Who cares?
It was so confusing. I didn't understand. And then I'm like, so you're going to do this because you say this? It was very strange. I was so confused.
It was like, It didn't make any sense.
Then we go to our favorite place, the mall.
The mall.
Someone's at the mall. I think it's him, right? He calls her from the mall, and she's like, "Why are you calling me? It's not a holiday."
And they, you guys, this is the moment where they were. The producer's like, "Morty, how do we make this young? How do we make this movie up? How do these cameras just talk to each other, Morty?"
FaceTime.
I don't know, boss. Texting.
No, no.
Emails, boss.
No, they FaceTime, Morty. They FaceTime.
Right, Mr. Whiteside.
So, yeah. So they both are talking about. And he's like, "Well, thinking about this wedding coming up, and it's a wedding and a holiday. And you know what I was thinking?" And she's like, "I forget who said what, but they're basically
like, I'm thinking something too."
And they're like, "Let's say it together. Let's go.
We should bring a tramp."
Let's each other
bring a tramp.
We're gonna bring a slutted and slut.
And again, y'all, this what is so sad about this? It's just if women would just learn to speak up. But you know what? That's not what a woman does. So she just holds on to her beliefs and what she wants.
For a man, yeah,
and let the man tell her what she wants.
Until they'll come to you or they won't, and you'll die alone.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like anti-feminist tribe disguised as feminism. It makes me so mad. I just wish they had like a sassy gay friend. He was like, "Girl,
yes,
what was sassy gay friend?
He was homophobic.
Yeah, I felt like
like in a movie where like they just didn't develop anyone. Like they could have just inserted one in for just one scene to be like, "Girl," and then that's it.
There was one black woman going in the Sprouts.
They did have that.
Sprouts. You're right. I mean, Sprouts in its own way, Sprouts is the gay best friend, right? I mean, Sprouts
is the gay best friend. It's true.
You're always not knowing how close you are to fucking someone that looks like Ryan Gosling with the Gaussian filter on him.
Yeah,
that's Sprouts.
It's Sprouts. So now we're at the wedding, and so Sloan brought Farouk, right? Uh-huh. And then here's something that doesn't quite track. Jackson brings Aunt Susan. I was like,
well, they met at Easter, and she said she likes somebody in a furry costume. So that was the instigating moment.
So this movie is
kind of one of the only few things that tracked, Ben. I'm going to be honest here. It's like kind of only one thing that happened before.
This movie is trying to do that thing where there's like a whole cast of characters that are kind of wacky and they all kind of like wind up with each other in strange ways, but it doesn't quite work, you know? No. But this is one of the ones where they tried to do it. I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So they're both trying to make each other jealous across the room. And Kristen Chenoweth is, of course, being like really sexual and stuff. And he only pretends to be in it when the girl from The Help is watching. And then she tries to be really into Farouk, which is just really cool to Farouk. I do not like how Farouk is treated in this film.
No.
And then Kristen Chenoweth is like sucking on his de-finger.
Mangled post-surgery finger.
And then biting it too. I'm like, could you please not bite
it? But I like that she was kind of biting it because he couldn't feel it. She was like testing it to see if she could feel it.
I was like so disgusted by this.
But you guys, that had to happen because it had to happen because he said, "I can't feel my fingers." And she goes, "What?" A man has to be good with his fingers. And for once, when they've told us everything, they didn't finish the line that would have made us laugh. She's like, "So he could finger bang my gooch." But they didn't. But that's what she should have said.
I think you can tell everything by a man's hands. Again, like left... That's a plot line on the floor.
I love that your gay word for vagina is a character from MAME.
It's true. It is. He always says gooch.
So now things truly fall. I think this might be a turning point in the movie because things really fall apart in this scene and in the movie. So
yes,
you would think at this point,
It's the climax, right? It's the wedding.
The wedding.
Don't be ridiculous. So then it's you would think, oh, they have other dates. So now they're going to get, this is complications. So then they meet up at like the bar, the open bar, and it's clear that the complications have no bearing on their situation whatsoever. And they're talking and they're like, they're sort of having like a fake argument, but it's not like a real argument about like, maybe we should rethink this holiday thing, da 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 da. But then there's a moment that's supposed to be a comic set piece, but again, like literally makes no sense. I don't know if they didn't set up, maybe it was supposed to be some sort of like loss in translation moment, but there's now a father-daughter dance, and this is Liz's father. So he's an Asian American man. Well, I don't know if he's American, Asian man. And he starts dancing to I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men. And everyone's like, oh no, he doesn't know what that song is about.
It felt really gross.
yeah.
And what's worse is Kimmy Schmidt, the show, made the same joke.
They did?
Really? It wasn't racist though. Titus Burgess goes to sing at his Korean friend's funeral. Who's trying to avoid paying his rent, and the landlord Carol Kane goes, and he's like, and I'm here to sing at a wedding, and he starts singing, close your eyes, make a wish. She goes, oh no, it was supposed to be Boyz II Men, Enter the Road. She's like, that's the wrong song. So that was the joke, and so right, it's been done before. Yeah,
but here there was like no but here there was like no setup for it. It was supposed to be like this crazy thing, and they didn't even set up back together
because they had to stop it from happening. They went and just danced with them and switched partners.
And by the way, neither of those self-involved people would ever do that. They would sit there and laugh. No. They did that at the New Year's Eve party. There was no way they're going to cut in and you know?
So then the couples are trying to make each other jealous still. They're like, we'll dance with our dates and look at each other, not look at each other, and make each other jealous. And then Jackson starts twirling Kristen Chenoweth around until she just falls over. And then Farouk runs over and he's like,
are you okay? He's like, are you all right?
Then he carries her off. Lord, lift us up where we belong. And then they're going off.
They have chemistry all of a sudden.
And then it's Halloween. And guess what? She's still single. And that makes her very depressed. So she eats chocolate because she's just so chubby.
So that's why she's got to wear this tight girdle.
This is where I wrote, how are there 40 minutes left in this movie?
Seriously. We were going to do this for a two-part recap. This is going to be Monday through fucking Friday.
I know. It's going to be a holiday recap. It's literally like, you don't have a date on your holiday, you listen to this recap.
All day on Christmas.
It was 2020 when you started this, and it is 2021 when we're finished. Okay.
So the sister is like really excited. Abby's really excited to go to a Halloween party. It's her first adult party since she's had kids. And I guess they couldn't find a babysitter or something like that. Yeah. So like the husband's not coming. So she's really excited. So they go to this Halloween party, and Jackson's there too. Was that intentional? Was he supposed to be there? Were they holidaying at this moment?
They're not holidaying, but he's invited because he's still friends with
York.
Yeah. I was confused. Whose party was this?
Same people who did the New Year's Eve party. They're promoters.
Yeah, same people. Jackson is party. Though, because he's going to be the pirate, and then Sloan is the slutty pirate because Jackson picked the costume.
He picked the costume.
So it is.
He's a pig.
Yeah. And she was a slutty pirate. We know she's a slutty pirate because
again,
she showed
I was a pirate.
Clavicle.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yeah. She's a slutty. Yes, thank you. I didn't mean to. I was a pirate in 1992 because that's when people actually it was 2002, but that's when people were pirates.
People were trying to be Jack Sparrow,
and they even make that reference again. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. But the friend Jackson's friend dresses as Black Panther, but he dresses as a literal Black Panther.
That kind of made me laugh.
That was funny.
That was one of the few details where I laughed out loud. Yeah.
Visual pun. I liked it. So and then
Kristen Chenoweth is of course sexy nurse.
Mm-hmm. And Liz is just a doctor.
He just put
just a doctor.
Yeah. And Liz is Cleopatra, and then York's supposed to come as Mark Anthony, but he comes as Mark Anthony the singer.
So that kind of made me laugh too, actually.
Me too. I was like,
that was funny. We also should note, because you guys, this is going to come back and it's going to be so funny that Sloane's older sister gave her an antacid, because when you wear a girdle, apparently, I guess it gives you acid reflux.
I think it was the candy she was talking about, too.
Oh, I thought she was nervous.
Either way. Oh, maybe. Because I was like, y'all.
That was very clear.
I'm 41 and 210 and fat. I get acid reflux on the daily. But when you're 28 years old and a skinny white blonde girl, that's why I was like, she does not have acid reflux.
That's so white side. So then the girls are all talking like, oh, my God, so much dry eyes. And they're all everyone seems kind of iffy. And then the girl comes in because Luke is there. Sexy Luke is there with
her list. Thank you.
Who invited him?
Again, this was the one thing they did right. He's shirtless for no reason.
Party where just everybody in town comes.
Also, Felicity is about to give birth in like 2 days. Why is she at this party? I guess that tracks because she's like thirsty for attention.
For attention. Yeah. And she did say, well, I just told him we're going to act like our lives aren't going to change after we have a baby. And then this was a total mom joke. But the way that actor Abby delivered it made me laugh.
Yeah. She was fine, and the sister started cracking up. She's like, your life's not going to change.
It was funny to me.
Yeah. That was like Ronnie. This scene was on a roll. It was on a roll. It was on a roll. We had a hot shirtless guy and jokes that tracked.
Yeah, this one was kind of organized. Unfortunately, we stopped there.
Another funny joke I thought, which was that so she takes the pills because she's like nervous. I think she takes it to calm down. And then Abby is like, "Oh, you want me to take you home?" And Sloane goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh." She had no intention to take her home.
Like, no.
I was funny too. Yeah.
I enjoyed that. But she does go home with Jackson.
But she's I was concerned. I think she was kind of devastated about the baby.
That's what it was.
Because so she was really sad about the baby. That devastated her because she wanted to have his baby. Or did she think that she would one day get back with Luke?
Yeah, she's still into, like, that's still her thing. Like, she just can't live without Luke for whatever.
Yeah, and she broke down. Yeah, again, that's just like, really? It's this dramatic?
Yeah, so she freaks out, and then she gets in the cab with him, right?
They're going home, and we get a reveal from Abby, the older sister. It was
like a cartoon reveal. Can I have one of those? Like,
Ben, I wrote in all caps, is this an animated movie at that part?
It was like a giant, like a central model.
She pulled out an anvil out of her purse and dropped it on the coyote.
I think she had like a little baggie. She's like,
Acme brand laxatives.
Here's my box of laxatives. Why is she carrying around laxatives in her bag anyway?
So we're like, oh no, she's gonna have the pooper soon.
And as soon as that happens, we get the most disgusting guttural noises that you've ever heard.
It's too real for me. I've been down that path before. I've done that where you're like just trying to get to your front door and you hear those noises and you're like, why is Stranger Things happening inside my stomach?
It's happened to all of us.
Then we get Dumb and Dumber for a little bit.
Literally just a scene from Dumb and Dumber.
It's literally a scene from Dumb and Dumber, but then it's like, then it's like he gets her through it. She's like, crap. He runs in the bathroom. And then it next cuts to like, you guys, I don't mean to, this is just what I thought. It looks like she's a sexual assault victim just sitting in the bathtub with eyeliner under her eyes.
And she's really uncomfortable. And it was like a moment when I'm like, you just washed poop off of her.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, this is supposed to be a moment where it's like, oh my God, they actually have like, there's something like deeper going on between them. I'm like, he's washing poop off of her. And I don't think that she would allow that. I don't think that she would allow that, to be honest.
No.
I had questions. I was like, did she take a shower first and then he came into the bathroom? Or did she just sit in the bathtub with poop everywhere and there's still poop there and they're like, we love each other, so I don't care about your poop?
And he just sprayed her off like hosing down a hippo at the zoo.
I know.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Can we also talk about like that this was also a classic thing where like they were in that elevator right before this for so long. It was like she was, you saw the exterior, it was like a three-story building, and then they're like in there forever, and like the elevator's going up and up and up. I'm like, the door should have been open by now. And then like it stops at a different floor and other people see them just as she's saying, rip this off of me. And this old couple's like, you know, but the classic thing, the elevator just goes on for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I've got to go poop. So y'all just keep going. Cause I've been dying. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh my God. But that's supposed to be the surprise. And the, oh my God, we ruffled some feathers, but yet we've had a cum in my mouth joke.
I know.
And yeah.
Okay. So they wake up in the morning and they're facing each other. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to be awkward about it today. I've washed poop off of you. So he's like looking at her and his hand is on her shoulder and they stare into each other's eyes. And he's like, that's it. We're going to kiss. So he goes in for it. And she's like, ew, I hate when people kiss in movies in the morning. It's disgusting. And he's like,
how about you say you just hate when people kiss in the morning because of bad breath? Okay.
We left that about an hour ago.
My romantic movies. She just hates them. So he's like, move that blanket out of your face. We're making out. And so and then he takes off his shirt and they bone.
And then wait, like full Top Gun, take my breath away.
I have never seen a movie where a man gets on top and then takes off his shirt like a woman in a Skinamax movie.
Especially after she's just shat herself.
That's what I thought too. I know.
I like that they act like diarrhea is like, oh, it just happens in 5 seconds and then everything's okay and you just fuck somebody. Nope.
This was like a monster that came out of her.
Yeah, that's like an event. Like you
Yeah, that's going all night long. That's an all night long poop.
Okay, so after it's kind of awkward, she thinks he's going to want to leave. And so she's like, well, I guess you should. I mean, you can go if you want to. Go ahead. You just leave if you want to. And he's like, what? You won't leave?
Dialogue.
And then Abby runs in like she walks in the door. It's like bangs on it. It's like fucking what's this Neil Simon play. And she runs in. She's like, I made out and committed adultery. And everybody goes, whoa.
She kissed the Black Panther.
Yeah. And I was like, this is serious. And it's so far afield.
Yes. And then she's like, Peter's a saint. How can I do this to Peter? I'm like, really? Because we haven't seen him.
We don't
we
know
saw Peter. Him in the first scene of the movie, and we haven't seen him since. I just know it's the guy from SNL.
And
Alex Moffat.
I can't believe I did this to him. And then Jackson comes out and he's like, good morning, Abby. Oh, I've just been hurt on my feelings. How are you this morning?
After I raw dogged your sister all night long.
By the way, don't go in the bathroom. We still have some more cleaning up. Would you like me to wash you down?
To cleaning up a spurting anus. Wow.
So then Abby's like, wait a second. Even though I just destroyed my marriage, let's talk about something more important. You guys had sex.
Yes.
Even though I just wrecked my children's lives.
Totally.
Let's talk about your bang.
And then someone's like, no, like, we didn't.
Yeah, it was a dream. It was a dream.
And he's like, we didn't? We didn't have sex? Fine. And he's like all in his emotions about it.
Yeah, so they get all hurt. They butt hurt. They get all butt hurt with each other.
They get all butt hurt. He goes and talks to his friend again. I can't remember his name.
I just keep writing friend.
Yeah, Tom. And he's like, she didn't even offer a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I was like, why are they having this tension right now? I don't understand this tension that they're experiencing.
They turn into the girls, right?
Yeah.
Everything they've been complaining about. So he's like, I've never been asked to leave. And he's like, and she didn't even call you? He's like, no.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
No one's ever done that before.
Isn't it funny when guys turn out to be the girls after all?
Oh my God,
guys, we're all the same.
Morty, we're going to flip the script and I'm telling you, my third affair was funny. Let's write that in.
Yeah, and then the friend is like kind of into sister. He's really into the sister. And so he's like, you know what you should do? You should go to Thanksgiving just to make her jealous and take me with you. That would show her. They're like coming up with wacky hijinks.
Can't wait to break up that family.
But I know.
But here's the deal. He says that, but and then it's him. Thanksgiving, and he doesn't come.
I was like, are you telling me you're going to raise the stakes on this like adultery situation, but like not?
Again, they pulled an Aunt Darla. They walked right up to it and said, Tim, get my purse.
Like, wow, imagine the awkwardness around that Thanksgiving table when Abby is with her husband and the guy she kissed and she hasn't fessed up yet. I wonder if it's all going to come out. Or we could not do that.
No, or we could just forget that plot line altogether.
We'll have Jackson bring a pie.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And Kristen Chenoweth, of course, is like, meet my new friend, Warren. And it's the dad from Wonder Years.
Yeah. I like my men a little crispy.
Yeah, and her accent by this time is full on Deliverance.
And since they've like clearly cut out pages of the movie to make it fit, they don't even try to make a realistic courtship between the mom and Wally. No. He walks in with Kristen Chenoweth and then smells turkey burning. And he walks into the kitchen and is like, hey, young lady, looks like your turkey's burning.
Like, just wow, like, a woman who cooks a turkey. That's what I'm into.
And he has like stars, hearts in his eyes. Hey,
you and me are the oldest people here, dame.
We should.
And he's like, turkey. She's like, well, I hope it's not burnt. And then literally she checks on it. It's not burnt. Spoiler alert, 2 minutes later, it's burnt.
It's burnt.
Fire
burnt. Oh, wait, it already looked burnt. I'm sorry.
And the whole meal is burned.
It did look a little crispy. Yes,
who's cooking all those things at the same time in the oven anyway? You cook that stuff after you take the turkey out.
Yeah, that was one of the fakest things in this movie.
That oven couldn't even hold all that stuff in it.
So it's true. Super upset. Somebody better get to the store. We have to do all of this again.
And then we get the gay character, everybody.
Send the single one. So we have another. Is Jackson coming? Because I don't want to take
him. Yeah, Jackson's coming, and he brings a pie, which is great. But then, I'm sorry, I was too quick to say, then we get the gay character of now they're in Sprouts.
Yes, they drive to Sprouts. Sprouts has clearly sponsored. Sprouts and Toyota have sponsored this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my life. They're at Sprouts and there's awkwardness. They're just like walking around Sprouts awkwardly because there's weird tension for no reason.
For no reason. All.
Potato chips.
At all.
Because remember, only garbage can go in her body.
Yeah. White cells like, I need awkwardness in Sprouts, okay? Need it to be real.
So she's eating chips angrily and she's like, eat a chip. And he's like, you know I don't eat that shit. Oh, we just pretend nothing happened between us to clean the poop off of ya. And so now she's really mad. And so she's like storming away in the Sprouts. And he's like, what are you so mad about? You're the one that said to leave that morning. And she's like, you didn't even want to have sex with me. And there's a little kid there. And then that's when the lady's like, she gets all mad.
So.
And then, if you don't want to have sex with me, you think I'm ugly.
She's really hanging on to that. And then that's when he gets another monologue from what was it? Monologue.biz.org?
Monologues by Alfred.biz.
By Alfred.biz.
Okay. Oi, was some random bloke at the mall. What do you think would have happened if I said you're incredibly beautiful with these lips that are begging to be kissed? Eyes that I don't know what they are, but they make me forget my own name. And there's just no way you would have gone out with me, an extremely handsome man who's a professional athlete who's taken interest in you and complimented you. It never would have happened.
Never, with an accent in a country where people sexualize your accent.
Right.
I mean, really, this was like, this is the one time they're like, okay, Tiffany was like, okay, every time in this movie, I'm going to take a famous movie quote and I'm going to make it better. But at the end, I'm going to save it. I'm going to write my own words, what's in my own heart. And that's when we realized it was better before.
And then you see me with my Sprouts car being like, could you please get out of the aisle? I'm trying to get to the garbanzo bean. Yes.
Could you please feel somewhere else?
I need to make a roasted pepper hummus. Please move.
And then she literally says, no. No, after all that and every time that you complete me speech happens, every movie is like, okay,
Yeah.
She also betrays her. This is where I got mad because she goes, nothing has changed. You can just relax and bang all the cocktail waitresses you want. And I was like, oh, so she wasn't really just happy having a holiday. And the whole time, yeah. The woman, of course, had to have him as a real boyfriend. Mm-hmm. It was all just a trick, acting like a cool
girl. She was resentful the whole time.
And I'm expecting to say, there was no waitress. I lied. You know, I'm expecting like, oh, it's gonna be one of those. But he's like, I did actually bang her. Yes, you're
right. He's like, yeah, I banged her. And guess what? Ryan Gosling's not coming. He's not ever coming. This makes no sense why I would suddenly say his name. But Ryan Gosling, right? If you say it three times, he'll appear.
If he did show up here in Sprouts, then you wouldn't get on that Ryan Gosling train. You would be mean to Ryan Gosling and Sprouts.
And then Ryan Gosling
would never do his own shopping.
Ryan Gosling would literally do his own shopping because he would love to brag about that on like the Tonight Show. It's like
he lives in Franklin Canyon and goes to that fucking Vons.
Right? Yes. Yeah. I saw him at a thrift shop once. He does do his own shopping.
And then they show the shadow behind her is Ryan Gosling. Like, oh, really? You think it's
again
shopping?
Zack Snyder of romantic comedies.
I know. She was just so terrible.
Anyway.
Then we go back to the house and Wally is like, oh, I like the leaf on your table, you sexy turkey burner. And Sloan's like, Jackson didn't come back with me. It's all my fault. And so I was like, oh, so this wasn't the climax either? When is the climax?
Yeah. Also, where is Bonnie Hunt? Shouldn't Bonnie Hunt be in this
movie?
Bonnie Hunt is way above this movie.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
you're right.
True.
Just felt like right. You're right. Here for this right. One moment. At least be like the checkout woman at Sprouts. It's like a little like I'm Bonnie Hunt, you know. So in the middle of this, my favorite part, actually, my favorite part in the entire movie is that when she says Jackson isn't coming, the mom goes, "No, Leaf."
I knew it because I'm a cruel, cruel person, and I live to hurt my daughter.
They were all struggling to get that leaf in there, and then she was like, "Victory is mine."
Then everything starts precipitating. It's just like the sister's like, your personal life is a mess. And she's like, you kiss Black Panther, that guy. And the guy walks and the husband walks in. He's like, what do you mean? You kiss that guy. It's all comical. Then Wonder Years man has a heart attack and I cackled.
I was like, they're gonna kill off Dan Lorina? Wow.
I busted out laughing. I was not sad or concerned. I busted out laughing because of how comical this whole section was.
It was.
I assumed Frances Fisher was gonna take him to the hospital and this was gonna get their romance on the road. But actually it's Susan and then also Sloan.
She's like, you're coming to the hospital. You have to come to the hospital. Come on, we'll go together. So they go into the hospital, and she's like, I don't even know this guy. I mean, I had to write his name on my arm. It's all my fault. I guess it's my fault. So many men love me, but once I get too close, I backed off. So here I am at age 49.
It's too 49.
I think she said that as a joke, which made me happy because I was concerned. And guess what? Guess who the heart attack doctor is? It's Farouk.
Farouk, y'all. General medicine is the way to go.
He's like, you guys, I just fixed the leg of a horse, and now I'm ready to do some heart
surgery. He did. He did fix the leg of a horse.
And then they say, she runs up. She's like, no, it's not to be. She wants to be with him, and she's like, no, I just need to move away from things. You can't let your heart get broken. She sees him, and she says, I love you.
Yeah. Because Sloan all of a sudden becomes that person who says, you have to say something. You can't let him go. You have to say something. Wow, isn't it weird? I'm giving advice that I could apply to my own life, but I'm not taking it.
Yeah, and she's like, okay, Farouk, I fucked up. You're the most amazing man I've ever met. And he's like, then you broke up with me? She's like, I got scared. It's what I do.
That's a really good Kristen Chenoweth.
I was going to say, it's uncanny.
That's pretty good.
I had a Kristen Chenoweth.
It's great.
And you don't even move your forehead like her, too, when you do it.
No, her forehead doesn't move. That's the problem.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. So she's like, can you please take me back? And he's like, I can't imagine being happy without you after that amazing wedding we went to together. I love you.
That was like a Mad Magazine joke.
That was like a Mad Magazine joke.
It was very Arrested Development.
Give me your finger and pulls it.
Yeah, so we're thinking that at this point, oh no, never mind. I'm sorry. Now it's Christmas time. So Sloan is looking at her Cinco de Mayo photos from the from when they got drunk.
Sad. She's reading a book. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think the book was a Nancy Drew book. I think that was a nod, y'all.
No joke.
This is the Nancy Myers symbol of being sad, of wearing a blanket and reading a book.
I love Tiffany Paulson's pulling a Housewives and just like putting her own brand of things in there. She's like, wrote that show.
It's true. And so she's like, I'm going to go see him. And she goes up to his apartment and she stands kind of by the way. She enters in the keypad. She doesn't know if she's going to press his number or not. And then he walks out the door behind her and she just stands there and he doesn't see her because her back's to him. And he walks on by.
She doesn't think for a moment, like, I just came all the way over to his apartment to say hi to him. And I'm trying to find his buzzer. And then, oh, he walked out the door. So maybe I'll turn around and say, Jackson. But she's like, no.
She lost the guts, guys. And by the way, they weren't in a mall. So that has to be remedied.
And we're in the mall now, y'all. It's the mall at Christmas.
It's the best choir I've ever seen at Christmas at the mall.
It's the drag brunch gospel choir. Yes.
Yeah, it's the only choir I've ever seen at the mall at Christmas.
I didn't
want to hear El Paso where I grew up because I thought maybe that was just normal everywhere else.
But you guys, who is she at the mall with?
The girls. Who else?
Her family.
Her fucking family.
Apparently,
they've made up now.
And they're really the adultery.
Yeah.
It really is.
The whole thing about trying to ruin my marriage is it's fine. Let's just remember things to the surface
that they could address.
That goes to things forgotten. Okay.
Things forgotten. Yes, exactly. It's like, what? What do we do? How do we, what's the happenstance that these two meet each other, or see each other again, and we'll just put them on the escalator and we'll just catch each other on the escalator.
Classic escalator shot of him coming down and her coming up and they look at each other. It's a white cell classic.
Yeah.
It's a trademark. Small town, Chicago. It's a
white cell. We got to have an escalator. What do you know? That's what we got to have.
Wait, coming right up. So they go up and they're like, go after him. She's like, no, it's not fate. He lives at the fucking mall. And they're like, stop being bitter and horrible. Did you just ash your cigarette out on Santa's hand? Go. And so she decides to run down and she's pushing people out of her way.
Ronnie, you forgot to mention there was a really edgy part where the little 9-year-old girl says, Aunt Sloan, life is giving you a moment. Don't fuck it up. I'm 9 and I said fuck.
She was like, I'm going to be the new Macaulay Culkin. Watch this, everybody. Like,
watch this. She's a big fucking bully at school, I bet.
So she runs down and she's screaming, Jackson! And then she stands on Santa's chair and screams, Jackson!
And still no one could hear her. So what do we do, y'all? What do we do?
I wish we had a witty choir.
The choir sings in perfect harmony without being.
As Jake and I were both, well, y'all are singers. We all were like, I'm like, they would never know what chord to do. Like the harmony. No. It was like, they just went, Jackson! No.
Also, if you think that like I am supposed to be on her side while she pushes all those people to the side on the escalator, no, you just take the escalator down like every other normal person. Yes. If you did that to me, oh my goodness.
Yeah, stand on Santa's chair. I mean, the nerve.
The nerve.
He turns to him and saying things. I missed you. I'm blah, blah, blah. You know, I was wrong. And you, the best part of this are the background actors who are saying, yeah. Ooh. Mm.
There's like Midwestern cheesemonger woman who just goes, and here's the deal. I don't know. I don't think that they went to Monologues by Alfred on this one because this was the worst monologue in the entire movie. And it's supposed to be the best one.
I think Whitesell wrote this one, not Tiffany.
Yeah, Whitesell took over.
I'm going to change this one. We're going to do my words.
We're going to use my 5th wedding vows. I'm telling you, they're going to work.
You know what? This might not seem like the best ending in the world, but Francis Fish is going to sell the fuck out of it. So she goes through the whole, typical thing. Like, I messed up. I was scared. And letting you go has been one of the toughest mistakes I've ever made. I quit smoking for you. I quit chocolate because I realized I'm finally ready for a relationship. And oh, God, smoking.
Cut to Santa shedding a tear again. Feel that, Lily. Terrible.
Yeah, Santa was crying, actually. I forgot. And she's like, I know I'm probably too late, but honestly, you're the only one I'd want to go through chemo with. And everyone's like, oh.
I was like, that's the weirdest catchphrase I've ever heard.
She thinks she has cancer there. And she's like, just kidding, I don't have cancer.
At this point, you're thinking, that's the weirdest callback this movie could have possibly made. And so then he, and then she's like, if it was the worst Thanksgiving of my life. And so then he's like, he smiles, like he's gonna go back to her. And then he's like, nope. And then he walks away and you're like, no. But then he turns around and he like runs towards her. They run to each other and they kiss. And then he goes, that speech was cockamamie. Remember when you said that? 11 and a half months ago.
Whiteside goes, cut, print!
Cockamamie! And we feed out on cockamamie!
Morty, car production!
Got it, on it.
So, hands.
Yeah, we get our drone shot, and then it's a nice ending to make us all cry a little. They're on a plane, and they're seeing fireworks together. They're in Australia with a kangaroo. And then Farouk is with Kristen Chenoweth getting married on a parachute.
Yeah.
An older sister is fucking her husband again in Vegas.
They're remarried. They get remarried again.
They get remarried
because I guess they fixed it, which is great.
Somehow this movie becomes all about travel in the end.
It does.
It's just, an amazing race.
It's the amazing race. And there's a lot. It's just basically they were like, hey, we have this green screen studio in Van Nuys that we can use on Sunday. Yep. This is how we're going to end this movie.
Yeah.
So, we ran out of the budget for people. Just do one last Christmas scene.
And the black guy gets, he's with the cult family.
Yeah. He is.
Yes.
And I bet he's coming in her mouth.
And Mom and Wally are together. And then Liz and York get tattoos.
Oh, that is edgy.
Edgy.
They are, what a funny arc for her, because remember, she didn't want to say fuck, and now she has a tattoo.
Y'all, it is nighttime here now where I am. This took so long to talk about.
Almost a 3-hour.
Oh my God.
That was a holiday. This was as long as a holiday.
That was double the length of the movie.
It's true. This is actually kind of though. It's like, you know, we're all men, and we waited so long to do this little crossover, and this was like an explosion. We all just orgasmed together, apparently. Oh,
like a cake pop.
Yeah. This was really, really fun. Thank you so much for doing
it. It was a joy.
That's fun, guys.
Hello, people of 90 Day Gays. Come listen to Watch What Crappens. And people of Crappens, go listen to 90 Day Gays.
Yes, because y'all do shows for our list. You have like, what, 4 or 5 shows every week?
We have 45,000 shows per week.
6 or 7.
We do 2 when we usually split one of them. And then Patreon shows.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep on doing them. And you're probably 2021 by now when most of you are hearing this. So happy fucking New Year. Ain't it much better than 2020?
It's true. We should say for people listening to the podcast, we should have said this at the beginning, but oh well. For people listening to the podcast, if you want to see a video of this, it's on our Patreons here, or it's on the Crappens Patreon. So you can join Patreon.
And your Patreon. Let's have a Patreon war.
Yeah. This would be like Lisa Left Eye Lopez challenged the other members of TLC to each release a song, and whoever charted the highest would be the winner.
Burn.
It's true. Well, we appreciate y'all so much, and you know, you've
Thanks
been kind
so
of like
guys.
Like mentors for us, and so people we all the time are like, y'all should do Crappens, and we're like, no, Ben and Ronnie do it the best, and you really do. So
no,
we love you guys.
Thank you so much. I love you. Love being friends with you. I'm really proud of you. Everything you guys are doing out there in the world, kicking ass. Everybody loves you. Everybody's asking us all the time about you guys. So there,
stop saying those things. That's just.
There it is. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and Kwanzaa, y'all.
Dennis Whiteside signing off. You just got dollared. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lying designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your...
caboose? Men flock to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk-forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge!
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttley, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.